minutes without it being recorded. All right, guys, I'm going live right now. All right, welcome back, everyone. This is Optimus Fields at My Living Truth, and you are back for another highly regarded Bitcoin Kindergarten Spaces. We have a really, really cool show for you guys tonight. But before we do that, let's get our laundry list out of the way. So we are at block height 737,918. And the current Moscow time is 3,359 sats per dollar, which equals out to roughly $29,775 per Bitcoin. So guys, we are still under 30K. I hope you guys are stacking. I hope you guys are doubling down on your Bitcoin education, because this is where you build. Anyways, Winikus, what's up, bro? Say what's up to the people and do your ad read.
How's it going, everyone? Live from El Sonte Bitcoin Beach. And our show is brought to you by our two usual suspects. The first being Simply Bitcoin. They are the daily Bitcoin news source, live on YouTube, Bitcoin TV, and other podcasting platforms. You got Nico, Phil, and Optimus just spreading Bitcoin propaganda, all in favor of pumping your stack. So please give those guys a follow and see what they have to say about all the shitcoins that are failing, the memes, and any other types of daily news related to Bitcoin. Number two is opensourcememes.com. Yes, we advocate memers having the proper funds to push whatever propaganda it is that you need to fight mainstream media, fiat mines, and all the other corrupt types of politicians and institutions. Opensourcememes.com. Send the funds your way. Send your funds their way.
Dude, the ad read, the fact they get worse over time makes them better.
I should practice speaking English.
Yeah, and spelling English. But that is besides the point. Diego, welcome, bro. So, like we said, guys, we got a local Salvadorian here to talk about Bitcoin adoption. I just got back from El Sonte about a week and a half ago. It was an amazing time. I had a blast. I love the country. Definitely coming back. It was beautiful. It was great vibes. Winikus is still down there. And so we figured, why not get you guys someone on the ground, boots on the ground, to tell you exactly what is going on. So Diego's a local Salvadorian, and he works with two projects, at My First Bitcoin and at Bitcoin Life. So Diego, welcome to Bitcoin Kindergarten. This is going to be a fun one. Say what's up to the people, and we'll go from there.
No, thank you so much to everyone that is listening. That was a really nice intro. I love the intro. And yeah, as you know, I'm a Bitcoin player here from Salvadorian. So I'm here like to speak, to tell what is happening here. So yeah, thank you so much for having me, guys.
Awesome, dude. We're excited to have you here. So I think the first question we should just start with, how did you find out about Bitcoin, and how has this journey been for you, bro?
Awesome. Thank you so much for that question. So yeah, when I heard about Bitcoin was on 2017. I was working in a call center here in El Salvador, and that is like really common. It's really common to...
Hello?
Can you hear me? I think I lost you for a little bit.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. You said you worked in a call center.
Yeah, back in 2017, I was working in a call center, and there was people that were investing, and I was like, hey, I want to invest as well, right? I want to put my money not into savings, but in something that can give me a return. So they were thinking about stocks and everything, but I checked that Bitcoin was like one of the best assets. So I investigated more, And I said to a guy, hey, I want to invest as well, but I really want to invest in Bitcoin. So can you please buy me like $500? And what happened there is like, I didn't know a shit, I didn't know nothing. And that guy was like a scam. So he took my $500 and he put it, I don't know, in something, in stocks or I don't know where. So he told me that he lost all that money. And I was like, hey, where's my Bitcoin? And he said that, bro, the Bitcoin get lost. I invest more. And that was the reason that I was like shocked. Like, oh my God, I spent $500 and I don't have Bitcoin. Like, what is going on there? So I do my own research, my own investigation. And that's how back in 2017, I bought my first $50 worth of Bitcoin. So that's how it started for me. So it's a crazy story.
Yeah, it's amazing that all of us kind of have the same story in the beginning. We get wrecked and then we just have to stick it out. So a lot of us start with shit coins or altcoins. So did you ever dabble in the shit coins or have you just been straight Bitcoin only ever since day one?
No, yeah, straight Bitcoin only. Like I'm a Bitcoin maximalist. I don't like no other coins. However, I have some, but I'd rather Bitcoin. Like Bitcoin is the main one.
Beautiful. That's what we love to hear. Yeah, I wish I could be as lucky as you and just go straight maximalist and be able to say that. But
yeah, like I got wrecked. 96% of my portfolio is on Bitcoin. So yeah.
Let's go. So just simple. What interests you the most on Bitcoin? Why are you dedicating your life to Bitcoin? And we all got our answers. So we love to hear what your answer is. And then we'll go into what your programs and your organizations are doing.
Sure. So after the call center, yeah, I decided to move on. And then I started in a tech company software. And it was like a startup of tech sales. So I started to follow a lot of like CEOs or founders or creators of software. And I see that like all these people regarding software were like really into Bitcoin. Like they were talking about Bitcoin. They were talking like, I'm investing the money there. So I was like, oh shit, like this is a big thing. And I need to like get in as soon as possible. So that was the reason that I then decided like, man, I need to be like full in into Bitcoin. And in September, when I heard the law, I see that there was a lot of people on Twitter that was trying to look into El Salvador, since we were the first as a legal tender to announce that. And I was like, hey, I really want to be part of this. I really want to see how this country works and how this Bitcoin is going to change everything for all the Salvadorian people. So I took that the chance. And right now, since they announced it, like I'm all in into Bitcoin. So yeah, that's how it started.
Beautiful, man. I love to hear that story. So how about we just talk about some of your organizations? Let's go with the first one. What is My First Bitcoin or Mi Primer Bitcoin?
Oh, awesome. So yeah, my first Bitcoin is an NGO. We are like a project, educational project that we teach free education on Bitcoin. So right now we have here in the space, we have people from My First Bitcoin that they also want to speak more about the project. They can speak in a bit. They are, maybe you can put them as a speaker. They are Raul Girola, oh, it is. And Juan Carlos also from Bitcoin Life. He wants to be a speaker as well. So yeah, My First Bitcoin started like a small project. We were like, when we started in the first meetings, we were like five people. And the founder, that is John Dennehy, he has like a awesome vision that he wants to change the world with Bitcoin. But the first step and the most important part is the education, right? So I love it. I have never been like a teacher before, and I know a lot of Bitcoin, so I decided why not to be part of like this movement, like of this project of My First Bitcoin. So I started as a teacher, and already orange pill almost like 100 people from there. So I really love the experience. I really love how the people that doesn't know nothing, they know a little bit. Like they can give that a small step from 0 to 1. So I was like, I really like to be a part in that revolution. And we were like the first one to start this educational project. I know that also on Bitcoin Beach, they're doing an amazing job in Hope House. Like in a national way, you know, we need to like people from all over El Salvador, because the Bitcoin is legal tender in all the country. So we want to like move on and orange peel, like not just the Salvadorians or the citizens from San Salvador, but all the people of El Salvador. So right now, I think that my first Bitcoin is like top of mind of education around Bitcoin here in El Salvador, and we want to be like also worldwide. So that is my first Bitcoin. But yeah, if Raul Girola can speak more and elaborate more about my first Bitcoin.
Yeah, by all means.
Yeah, awesome. So Raul, you're there.
Hey man, yes, I'm here. Thank you guys, and thank you for the time and giving us the space to talk about our project. So yeah, like Diego was saying, my first Bitcoin. It's actually, now that I look back, in you know, considering that we started in September, just after the law passed, until now, it's the growth and the support that we've had has been amazing, guys, and. We're just expecting for things to get better and better and better. And like Diego was telling you guys, it all started with the idea of, well, our founder, which is John Dennehy, he had the idea of, you know, starting an education project here in El Salvador to help support adoption. And our motto or theme is, without education, there is no adoption, right? And to be quite frank with you guys, from the government, there wasn't a lot of focus. In reality, there was almost no focus on providing education for Bitcoin. So we decided to take that role. And yeah, we were a small group of Salvadorans giving classes in our spare time. And now we are a team. Most of us work full time for the organization. And then, by the way, we get our payments in Bitcoin, obviously. So we are part of the very few group of people that receive their salary in Bitcoin. And yeah, right now we are, you know, growing. Actually, just to let you know, guys, today I'm in the second floor of our new home, like our official place that we're gonna have to, you know, give classes and you know make meetups and stuff like that. So. Yeah, in a very small paragraph, I try to summarize a little bit of what's going on. But that's basically what we do, my first Bitcoin.
Awesome, man. Awesome. I brought up Juan Carlo, if you want to talk, or whoever's behind the Mi Primer Bitcoin account. If you guys want to add some words or we got some questions, yeah, jump in.
Hello. Hey, everybody. My name's Gloriana. I'm also part of my first Bitcoin. I just wanted to add to let people know that we have teach around 3,000 people from when we started to right now. So our growth has been an exponential growth. And our plans for the future are bright. Future looks bright. I just wanted to add how many students we have teach, so people can have perspective of where the project goes and how it has become until today. So thank you for having us. It's a pleasure always. And whoever is in Salvador right now and wants to have a class, just go to our Twitter, and then there's a link in Calendly where you can subscribe to a class, and it's completely free. You will also get a bono. It depends if it's a virtual class, you get a bono for $5. If it's not virtual, then you get $10 worth in sats. So we believe that by doing you learn, so that's why we give these bono, and it's always for free. So give us a look, take a look, and give us a follow too. Thank you guys.
Awesome. This is awesome to hear. Hobo, I see you have your hand up. Do you have a question, comment about what they're talking about right now, or?
I just love it.
Awesome. All right. So, well, you guys already jumped on one of the. Oh, Raul, yeah, jump in.
I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
No, dude, this is your guys' stage. If you guys want to say stuff, by all means. But I was just going to add, you guys have been talking about how many students you got. One of our questions over here was, how is adoption going in El Salvador? Is it overhyped on Bitcoin Twitter? Or, like, I just got back down there, and it was beautiful to see. But what is the Bitcoin adoption going on at large in El Salvador? I know Diego talked about it a little bit, but can you guys just get in there? Like, I forget what your name was. Sorry. I'm sorry, ma'am. But like you just said, so we can get some perspective on what is actually going on down there. So thoughts on this, guys?
Yeah, so adoption in El Salvador, it's a little bit slow, guys. I'm going to be honest with you. And talking about perspective, as Gloriana said, just to let you know, just to give you a little bit of you know, perspective, when in El Salvador right now, adoption is very low. There is like this Bitcoin bubble that has been created between the capitals and Salvador and the beach area of La Libertad, specifically in El Sonte. El Sonte is where everything started, right? That was like the first Bitcoin grassroots community that created their own circular economy in El Sonte, which is Bitcoin Beach. They started in 2018, and they were eventually the inspiration for the government to pass the law, et cetera, right? But between the capital and this and Bitcoin Beach, yes, you'll find some businesses in the capital. Most chain large businesses already give you Bitcoin as a payment option. And then in El Sonte, on the beach, almost every business gives you the option to pay with Bitcoin. But outside of that area, outside of that like Bitcoin bubble, the classic pilgrimage that Bitcoiners do when they come, outside of that, there's a lot of resistance to adoption. A lot. And there's a lot of different paradigm, like ideas that people have, or perceptions, incorrect perceptions of Bitcoin. They think that Bitcoin might be a scam, it's like a pyramid. They think that Bitcoin is created by the government, by our president, by Nayib Bukele. Some people believe that. And you know, as you know, it's Salvadorians, we are stubborn, and we have a lot of resistance to change. And it's a little bit hard. And one of the missions that we have in, for one of the things that we do a lot in my first Bitcoin, is try to give classes to rural communities outside of, you know, the classical area that people move on, which is the capital. So on these other communities, we give out classes, and it's difficult sometimes, and it's hard to change those ideas. But little by little, there's, and especially you can see that sometimes on the young ones, you know, teenagers these days, they are, you know, they are great with smartphones, so usually they get it pretty fast. But outside in rural communities, outside of the main cities, it's a little bit difficult, guys. So we still have a lot to do, but we're going there.
Beautiful. Raul, I think it's very refreshing to get some not hyped you know, reporting on what's going on down there, because it's really beautiful to see it happen. But I know we get very excited on Twitter, and we can not embellish, but make it seem like it's bigger than it is. So I'm glad that we can clarify that. And my question to that is, for my first Bitcoin, what would you guys need to further help your guys' cause? Like, what are your pain points? And, you know, maybe someone that's listening can help us out, or maybe we can just get the message out of what you guys need to make sure you guys can continue to orange pill the locals in El Salvador.
Maybe I'll answer that. What we always need are sats, because we're giving sats away in order to people to understand how the system works. But if you cannot donate sats, then go give us a like on our tweets, go retweet us, go to our meetups and support us in any other way that is not Bitcoin. But yeah, if you can donate some sats to us, it would be great, because we will definitely be giving them back. So yeah, those are the ways that you can help us, guys.
Beautiful. T-Bone, do you got a question? Oh, Juan Carlos, jump in.
Hey, guys. Just want to shout out to Mi Primer Bitcoin. They're doing a great job. I was I'm actually the original designer of the logo, and I was part of the original team of Mi Primer Bitcoin. I'm still a big supporter of them. However, a lot of things have evolved in El Salvador. And with Diego, Mauricio, and another buddy, we started another project called Bitcoin Life. So I kind of want to jump in between speaking about what Bitcoin Life is and also speak about adoption and what is my perspective or what is our perspective about adoption from Bitcoin Life. So first of all, Bitcoin Life is... it's a platform, and what we offer is to connect Bitcoiners from around the world who are visiting El Salvador, connect them to the ecosystem here, whether it is by providing tours, which is kind of how we started. You know, how we started is a lot of people were coming to El Salvador. They were going to El Zonte, which is a normal, destination for any Bitcoiner, because like Raul said, there's a circular economy with Bitcoin that is doesn't happen in the rest of the country yet. However, by providing tours, we're enabling people to see the country, to understand the culture, and also help out, you know, because they a lot of the people that come here, you know, they pull out their phones and they want to pay with Bitcoin. And it happened to me the other day. I was not at El Zonte, but we were about 12 Bitcoiners, mostly foreigners. I was the only Salvadoran there. And a street vendor came around, and he was trying to sell his, his products. And all the Bitcoiners were like, well, you know, we'll buy you, but, you know, we don't have any cash. You know, we'll pay with Bitcoin. And that's when I jumped in and I told the guy, you know, the local guy, I was like, hey, why don't you download this wallet? And I basically gave him like a one-on-one Bitcoin, you know, on like 10 minutes at the beach. And he downloaded the wallet and he sold about five purses that he had made. So that is just one example of things that, you know, when Bitcoiners come to El Salvador and they stay at the beach, it's great because they get the economy going. But then by us taking them to other places, that incentivize other people to learn about Bitcoin. And they're, you know, they realize this is a real thing. You know, it's not just, you know, it's not just Chivo wallet, you know, from the government, but it's an entire movement around the world where people are actually paying goods and services with Bitcoin, and they want to do it here in El Salvador. So we've taken it upon ourselves to promote that, you know, promote the tours, taking people to see a beautiful country, learn about the culture. But also, after we started with that, now we're getting people to ask us, like, so can you do consulting for us? You know, people are trying to relocate to El Salvador because they like the idea of how things are organically moving. You know, the adoption is organically progressing, that they want to move here and they want to establish their businesses here. They want to move with their families. And so this is basically kind of like the next step in which Bitcoin Life is stepping on right now. We're offering consulting because we're locals here. We have a lot of people on the ground that can provide us information about, like, you know, homes, land, etc. People that, you know, want to relocate here that have needs. And even we can even go the extra mile to even offer consulting as far as like, what are the best locations for your business to thrive and your family to be provided with the basic services like education and supermarkets and stuff like that. So that's kind of like what we're stepping on right now with Bitcoin Life. And the, and eventually we would like to provide, you know, all that online and kind of be an online platform that can provide all that information. But we're just kind of slowly moving towards that. We just started a couple months ago, I will say, with like a couple tours and people, and we're just doing like a one-on-one consulting right now. So that's kind of like how Bitcoin Life works. And just to add to the adopting part, I think, you know, my first Bitcoin is doing a great job with the population here in El Salvador. However, I think, and this is something that we're exploring too, I think we need to get more merchants and more vendors into the system. Because like I said, you know, if that vendor that was trying to sell his purses to the Bitcoiners would have known about a wallet and how to download it, he would never make that purchase, you know, that sell. So those are sort of like, you know, the connecting the dots type of thing. That's what's missing here in El Salvador, but it's slowly happening. But, you know, so I don't think that Twitter, you know, feeds are necessarily biased or anything. I think there's a thriving Bitcoin economy. It's just not where everybody would like it to be yet, but it's going there at some, you know, slowly moving there.
That was amazing. I love what you just said. Wanikis, I saw you had your hand up. Questions?
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to, like, we know adoption is slow and it takes time, but how do you picture El Salvador in the next 5 to 10 years?
Honestly, it's interesting you say that because there's a Bitcoiner who actually tweeted something earlier, and I'm gonna try to remember what he said, but it was very interesting. He said he said that Bitcoin is an experiment and has gone terribly wrong in El Salvador. He was, you know, being sarcastic, right? But he started putting in some numbers like the GDP growth in El Salvador, tourism growth, export growth, remittances growth. So beyond just the adoption of Bitcoin for paying for goods and services, there's been an increase of tourism, exports, remittances here in El Salvador, private investments, you know. After the pandemic, a lot of countries have actually suffered a lot of inflation. El Salvador is actually a lot lower than the U.S. right now in terms of inflation and crime. You know, there's a lot of unfortunate things happening around the world, specifically in the U.S. in terms of, you know, violence. El Salvador right now has had like a full month of zero homicides. So there are a lot of things that are kind of like a collateral advantages to Bitcoin. So adoption is great and it's happening, but at the same time and in parallel, a lot of good things are happening to the country that people don't even realize that they don't necessarily have to do with making a transaction with Bitcoin, but the Bitcoin ecosystem, which is what Bitcoin Life is trying to promote, it's basically building this community and it's building this ecosystem that is creating growth to the country.
Yeah, I see it firsthand. This is already my third time back in El Salvador, and I can't say that I would have been here if it wasn't for Bitcoin. And not only that, in El Zante, where I'm hanging out, there's tons of other Bitcoiners that like love being here, and we're hanging out, having barbecues, things like that. And none of us would have ever been in El Salvador if it wasn't for Bitcoin. So just in the very near term, there's an influx of tourists that are really interested in what's happening here. And hopefully we can help spread the adoption to the local community.
Beautiful. Diego, your hand's up. Comments?
No, yeah, I also want to like see my point of view and the adoption, because like I see it like the before and after, right? So a really good example of how the adoption, like you can see it with your own eyes, is the Bitcoin Beach wallet. So I don't know, maybe I didn't tell you guys. So when I see that there was the conference coming to El Salvador, I decided to create a website with my brother Mauricio, like a really like simple website, just to people know more about El Salvador and how they can use and they can spend the Bitcoin. And it was like a Salvadorian guide. So like you can check and review what you can do in El Salvador, places to visit, places to work, hotels that accept Bitcoin. And I compiled everything in one site. So when I create that was like September, October. And I have the picture there in that website of the Bitcoin Beach wallet that was like the first wallet. See, without that wallet, imagine that without the wallet, I believe that the Bitcoin, all the ecosystem and everything couldn't exist. So we own a lot to Galoy. Galoy were the developers that believe in this project in Bitcoin Beach. So they create that wallet, and I really love it because it has a part in the wallet that has a map. So when you enter to the map section, you can go ahead and see like all the commerce, all the business that they already have Bitcoin Beach wallet as a commerce, and they already registered. And you can see it with your own eyes, where are the spots that you can pay with Bitcoin. So if you see the difference from September, back in September, and you compare it now, like, oh my God, it changed a lot. Like right now you can see a lot of more business that they are accepting Bitcoin already with the Bitcoin Beach wallet. So all of that business that you see there, they don't accept Chivo. They accept Bitcoin Beach wallet. Maybe they have Chivo as well. Chivo is a national wallet that you can receive payments as well. You can convert it to dollars at the same time. But however, so you can see a lot of business right now using Bitcoin. So imagine that, plus the users of Chivo, plus the users of Strike, plus the user of Ibex Mercado, that also they are like the main platforms here in El Salvador that they accept Bitcoin. So we add and we add all of that, all of the business that accepting, you can see a lot of them. So that's like a thing that like normal people that they don't see, but however, yeah, it's happening, guys, and it's happening here in El Salvador. So that's what is Bitcoin Life about. Yeah, more commerce and more business accepting Bitcoin, that would be better for us, because that's how you experience and that's how you live the Bitcoin life. So that was a thing that I want to really add to the adoption part of El Salvador.
Beautiful. Man, guys, this is making me feel super bullish. I know you guys are giving caveats that it's slow, but this is what adoption looks like. It's on the ground, all of us working in any way we can to spread the orange pill Bitcoin knowledge. And like, I just want to add to what Weinekes was saying, like Bitcoin has put El Salvador on the map, and it's just beautiful to see that Bitcoin actually can help people around the world. And it's not just us talking about it. Like, you guys are showing us right here tonight that it's actually doing what we say it does. And that's just beautiful. T-Bone, I see your hands up. Jump in, bro.
Yeah, I just wanted to maybe give my two sats of opinion on the adoption point. For those who don't know, I've been in El Salvador, specifically El Zonte, for about 6 weeks now. And I've been making it part of my project here to speak with some of the locals here in my pretty primitive Spanish, in my Spanish language skills, but... I was in San Salvador earlier today, and I had a couple of conversations with some of the locals. You know, you stand out like a gringo, and you know, you get these locals coming up to you wanting to talk to you. And you know, I've been asking these people, you know, what do you think of Bitcoin, in a really sort of unbiased direction, I suppose, just to get their thoughts on, you know, what they think about it as part of the economy here. And there's been a majority, and this is, you know, we go back to the adoption and the fact that it is slow. And as Juan Carlo suggested, there's a lot going on in the background. However, I think the biggest hurdle here, and I hate to talk about price, but I think the hurdle here is we need a pump, because I think the biggest point is the education. But to get the education right, you need the interest in Bitcoin. And, you know, legal tender law came in here September 7th last year when the price was, I think it was about $58,000 US. And we're literally half of that value now. So the people that did jump into this and start accepting Bitcoin have had this feeling since they've been doing it that, you know, they accept $100 of Bitcoin one day, and then the next day it's worth $97, and then the next day it's worth less than that, and then less again. So they haven't really experienced any kind of pump yet. So I believe that the moment the price begins to pump, we are going to see some crazy levels of adoption happening here all over the country. And I think it's going to be extremely quick. And that's really, really exciting. So yeah, that's my two sats worth.
Yeah, my first Bitcoin is going to have like 10 classes per day when that happens.
Sure. Yeah, it'll be crazy. It'll be crazy here. And, you know, like, this is ground zero. Like the people I have spoken to, and this was another conversation I had today with a local, was you could clearly see that he didn't understand 100% what Bitcoin was. But what he liked about it was he didn't need to carry a cash around, and, you know, as far as a safety mechanism. So he liked the idea that he could just carry his phone around, and he didn't, you know, have to worry about people robbing him on the spot. And that was, you know, that was the positive takeout from him. And he stood there and raved about Bitcoin for a solid 10 minutes. I didn't even say I was a Bitcoiner. I just let him talk and just get it all out. And it was amazing to hear his point of view, not even really understanding what Bitcoin is going to do for him in the future.
Yeah, I know, like, the pump will definitely bring a lot of attraction to it, and that's usually how people first get involved, but it will be interesting to see the education as far as treating it as a long-term savings and knowing that it is volatile. So, like, if everyone can understand that it's something that you should be holding on for many years, if not decades, like, that would be pretty important. Obviously, the people of Salvador have different standards of livings and needs, so like it'll be interesting to see what happens. But a pump will bring a lot of attention to it, but it could also bring some problems once like another dump happens, you know.
Well, I mean, what I was trying to get at is where people have seen the value of their Bitcoin drop day after day, if they see that value starting to increase day after day, they're all of a sudden going to go, why is this happening? And they're going to start going down the rabbit hole, and they're going to understand why this is different from the US dollar.
Definitely. And they'll say, sure, I'll take Bitcoin. You know, that's really the first step of adoption. It's a merchant willing to accept it.
Yeah. Believe me that when that happens, we're going to see like more adoption. Like, it's going to be shooting to start, and a lot of people, they want to know more. And also, talking about adoption, another thing that I see, that I'm really friend of a guy that's working with the strike, with a business, and what they're doing as well is that they accept Bitcoin, and also they're paying the bills with Bitcoin. Like, they don't touch the money, and they use Bitrefill app. You can pay like your electricity bills, you can pay your water bill, phone bill. So it's crazy like that all of these business are seeing another ways, another options that Bitcoin offers to do it. So when that happened, like, everything, they will want to know more and like how to use it and what is like the best ways to use it as a business, if they keep it, if they hold it, they use it to pay the bills. So yeah, when the price goes up, like more people, they will really go into the rabbit hole and really like want to know what is going on using Bitcoin. So yeah, that's great.
I have another question for you guys. What is the perception of locals with the amount of foreigners that are coming in and potentially, you know, buying land and things like that, or investing in businesses? Are some people finding it negative that there's some sort of a wealth coming in and pricing people out, or do they see it more as opportunity?
Well, no, they see maybe the both sides. Like if you ask like a local surfer, and they see like the in the normal day that they took those normal waves in that specific time that it went, and if they see like 10 foreigners in the same wave, they will be like, oh shit, what's going on here? But however, we as a Salvadorian, we love people coming. Like we love tourism. That is what Bitcoin Life is about. Like treat all these people good. Treat it like there were Salvadorians. They were like special. See the best traits of El Salvador. See the beauty of this country that is really beautiful. What I really like, and I really tell to everyone that you can be in three different spaces in three different environments. You can have breakfast in a volcano. Then you can go, and if you want to go to the boat in a lake, you can do it as well. And if you want to see the sunset, you can do it as well in the same day. Like there's no restriction on that. I do it a lot of like a lot of times with a lot of Bitcoiners, and everyone was like really shocked about the country. And if you ask to any Salvadorian that you see on the street, or any people that any Salvadorian you can talk with that, and they're like really good and really open to people get here and people get excited. So for us, that is not a problem. You can look the example as Costa Rica. A lot of people, citizens from the United States, go there to retire. They bring investment, they bring new opportunities, they bring buildings, bring malls, business. So for us, it would be better to people experience this country and provide with some investments. So also the Salvadorian, that they are really hard worker people. They know as a hard worker of all Central America. We have a really nice English as well. Like our language is like really neutral. Like we don't have accent as maybe Guatemalan or Nicaraguan people, that they talk really fast. I believe that we speak really good Spanish. We have like a lot of translators from the Hollywood movies. Like when you go to the cinema and you listen to Spanish people talking, like translation, there are a lot of Salvadorians work on that. So you know, we are good people, and we love to see foreigners. That's not a problem for us.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you that El Salvadorians are some of the nicest people you can possibly meet. Like, I went traveling through Mexico and Central America, and when I got to Mexico, I'm like, wow, these people are really nice. And the more you keep going south through Central America, the people just get nicer and nicer. And it's really surprising and refreshing how nice the people from El Salvador are. They really are sweet.
Yes, like you can have a ton of questions, like four questions. And even that people doesn't speak English, they know somebody that speak. And maybe they look for us, they contact them, and they're going to see any way to help you, like for real. Maybe you experience that. Maybe people that are here in this tour space already leave that, and you can tell that. So we don't have no problem with that.
Yeah, I was gonna add to that comment, and I think I agree with everything you guys have said. I think Salvadorans are very welcoming people and very friendly. My experience, actually, I was born in El Salvador, but I grew up here, but then I lived 21 years in the U.S. and then I moved back here. The reason I moved back here is because of the people. You know, I'm able to make friends really easily here, and the people are very welcoming. And also, what I would just add is, you know, just like in any other country, you know, one thing that we need to work on more, and especially people who are working on projects, you know, we need to work on partnering with you guys, with people who are visiting El Salvador. You know, maybe you can teach a class, maybe you can teach English or another language, maybe you can share about your culture with Salvadorans. And that way, you know, the ecosystem is getting stronger, because, you know, people like that you understand their culture, but they also want to learn about you guys. So, you know, and eventually I think there's a couple projects that I see emerging. One is called Torogos, and I think there's another one where they're teaching people how to code. And but there's more to it. You know, there are a lot of needs also in El Salvador. So it would be great to incentivize people to come up with other programs, like teach English, teach other skills like technical skills, teach writing, coding, you know, like a lot of other financial literacy. So there are a lot of aspects that also people as foreigners can contribute to, and they can feel, you know, even more welcome and be a part of it. And that's one of the things that we're working at Bitcoin Life is, you know, we just don't want to just take you to the volcano and hang out and stuff. But, you know, we want to take you to, we're planning on taking people to on a tour, not only to El Zonte, but to San Salvador, to La Casa del Bitcoin, where you can actually see Salvadorians taking a class from Mi Primer Bitcoin right there on the spot. And eventually, you know, we can also planning on taking people to see the mining facilities, you know, where they're mining Bitcoin in the east, you know, kind of towards where Bitcoin City is going to be built at. So a lot of those things, you know, we feel like they can contribute to the ecosystem, but also it's also an enriching experience for foreigners that are coming to El Salvador, and then they can feel more a part of it. And they just want to be like, you know what, I'm just going to stay here and I'm just going to camp out here in El Salvador and start a project and start working on something. Because, you know, the one of the greatest things that can happen in the world is that people from different backgrounds come together and they build great things, because everybody adds their own perspective. And that just becomes, you know, more and more mature as these ideas come together. So that's just something to add to, yeah, the friendliness and the welcoming character of friends. And also foreigners are also, you know, very, very willing to learn about the culture and share it. And I'll see it more and more. And I hope that continues, you know, where people can, you know, start coming here and kind of share more of their culture as well.
Awesome. This is extremely bullish, guys. This is amazing to hear from people on the ground, and it's not some professional shill trying to shill us the story. So this is amazing. Mike, question or comment?
Yo, what's up? Shout out to my boy T-Bone. I was down in El Salvador a few weeks ago, so I met T-Bone down there. What I wanted to add to this was, people will talk about adoption, how it's going slower than they think, or it's not as wide as they think. But one of the biggest takeaways that I had this last time I was down there was just the fact that people have something different to talk about El Salvador other than just violence, and how much tourism that brings in, you know, to the country. And just the trickle effect of that is kind of profound. You know, the hotel I stayed at, I met the owner, talked to the owner, and he was telling me about, you know, running the hotel from like 2016 up until now, and you know, how much different it is now. And you see all the people working there, and like everybody else is saying, everybody's so nice down there, but it's all young kids, you know, like between 16 and 20 or 21 and 22. Most of them don't speak English. Some of them do, but a lot of them are learning English, and a lot of them are learning English at like Hope House, you know, the Bitcoin Hope House down there. So it's like this, you see this change happening down there, where all of a sudden these kids have an incentive to learn English, right? It's like the common language for tourism. And then that kind of leads them down a path of wanting to learn about other things. So, you know, I think just by having the country associated with Bitcoin, finally gave it, you know, the media something like positive to talk about. And then, you know, obviously the president seemed to run with it, and, you know, crime's been better down there, it seems. So, you know, even outside of the adoption, how the number of merchants and all that stuff, it's really changed the brand of El Salvador, it seems, and just the tourism alone is providing opportunity and incentives for people down there to actually, you know, like learn about stuff. And it just seems like you can see the whole circular, you know, it's all happening down there. Bitcoin Beach and Hope House, and they're helping people, like, you know, kids like get to school, you know, providing transportation and all that stuff. So, yeah, outside of all that, it's just having the country have a different brand. I've seen it seems like it's a huge benefit down there. So, yep, that's all I wanted to add.
Beautiful. We love the extra comments, guys. Well, we went through all our questions. You guys answered most of them, so we can keep going as long as you guys want to. Diego, I see you unmuted yourself. Jump in, bro.
Yeah. I think that Raul or Juliana were raising their hands. I don't know.
Yeah, I saw that. I think she.
My first Bitcoin.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
My first Bitcoin is a listener. Yeah, can you put it?
Yeah, I thought she waved to leave, but I'll bring her back up. But guys, this is inspiring. This is definitely what we wanted to share with our listeners, so that they can get on the ground info. How about while I wait, if Mi Primer Bitcoin wants to come up, how can our listeners get in touch with you guys? We got a few comments in our YouTube chat about if plebs can go down there and teach some classes. So how, if people want to go down to El Salvador and help out on the ground, where can people get some information? Do they have to sign up, or they just show up and just start helping out?
All right, guys. Yeah, if anybody wants to come down here and help us out as volunteers, obviously a little plus will be, you know, talking a little bit of Spanish. If you know a little bit of Spanish, the better. But if you want to come here, you know, have some boots on the ground experience, you know, accompany us or help us, you know, with our projects in the city or outside of the city, just let us know via our social media. You can send us a direct message. And you can make reference to either meet myself or Gloriana or Diego as well. And yeah, because right now we need all the help we can get.
Awesome, man. Super awesome. Well, guys, I'm inspired. I hope you guys listening got some value from this. We're giving you on the ground heat. Diego, jump in. Let us know your thoughts.
No, yeah. Thank you so much. Well, you know, the Bitcoin Live connects all the professionals in a lot of areas. So we can give you like the best assessment or everything related to consultings, to investments, real estate, and everything regarding that. So what we're trying to do is like provide with the whole ecosystem. Like, if you want to do classes, we can connect you to My First Bitcoin. You want to come here to live, we can also set you up with all the process. You want to open a bank account, you can do it. You want to stay in which hotel you want to be, we can also like recommend. You want to like experience how everything is going around here regarding Bitcoin, like we can also do that. So what we're trying to do is like, you know, put the ecosystem together. I'm telling the another Bitcoin plebs that we like try to centralize the decentralized that is Bitcoin. So like putting together all stuff here in El Salvador, so you will know when, if you come here, you will know what to do, how to do it, or know the people that is there, you know. So I just want to add that. And yeah, you tell me that there will be like a questions and answers, questions and answer part. So everybody that have a question, that want to see what is going on the ground, that want to see how El Salvador is doing, you can do it right now.
So here's a question. Where are the best pupusas in El Salvador?
Oh, my God. That is a nice question.
Yeah, Diego, well, we can even teach you how to eat pupusas with your bare hands with curtido and salsa right here.
never ask that in front of El Salvadorans. You want to start a civil conflict?
Yeah. Let's just change that question, because that's a very, very subjective answer.
Yeah, but I love pupusa suiza. That is one of the best. In El Salvador, it's really common to eat with your family on Sunday night. So I really like the pupusa suiza on Sunday night. Yeah, I have it. I recommend that. But yeah, another question.
Yeah, guys, if you have questions, definitely come up, ask them. If not, me and Weinikis will ask a few more questions. How about this one? Weinikis, we've been asking all our guests this one recently, so we might as well do it tonight. Guys, we love memes on this channel. We are champions to memes. So what are your favorite Bitcoin memes? And do you say them regularly where you're orange pilling in El Salvador?
To me, what is the best Bitcoin meme?
Yeah. What's your favorite Bitcoin meme?
I have it in my phone, but right now, if you ask me that, yeah, that would be difficult. but yeah. And I don't know if somebody else got a Bitcoin meme favorite.
I don't know if it was posted on this channel, but I just saw it recently where Bitcoin is shaking crypto, the other altcoins' hands, and then sewing his own hand. So I don't know where I saw that, but that was kind of hilarious.
Yeah, that was a good one. That's BTC pins. I remember that one.
It looks like we need to also have meme adoption go up in El Salvador too.
Oh, believe me, that it will definitely catch up like fire here if you start a meme, you know, Bitcoin meme.
Yeah, I love the one of Drake, like, you know, the Drake that is pointing with a good vibe, and then it's like, don't do it. It was like, but buy Bitcoin at 67K, and don't. And buy Bitcoin at 29K, and well, yes, I really love that.
Yeah, jump in, Raul.
Yeah, hey guys. I don't know if it's a meme or if it's considered a meme, but I think eventually it can become one. But it's a classic one here, and I love it. It's the T-shirt that the protesters used on the first like anti-Bitcoin protest that was made here. It's basically like the anti-Bitcoin, and it has the Bitcoin, like the B with the cross on, like the no on top of it, and that's. It's become very iconic, and a lot of Bitcoiners, when they come here, they want to get that shirt because it's a conversation starter. You go to a Bitcoin meeting and you have your anti-Bitcoin shirt, people are going to ask you what's that about. So I don't know if you've seen it, but if you ever come to El Salvador, you might see it here and there, and I highly recommend that you get it. It's very iconic.
Okay, I haven't seen it, but now I'm looking for one. And we got a question. We got a question by Labrahado on YouTube, and he's wondering, do you guys have a meme department to apply to? Do you guys need some in-house Salvadorian memers?
Yeah, that would be a great position. We didn't thought about it, but it would be an awesome position because we need memes all the days, all day long. But yeah, we don't have exactly. It yet, but we will think about it.
There's actually a boardroom at Hope House dedicated to memes, and it's vacant for you, Labra.
Yeah, the best way to spread Bitcoin adoption is to make fun of people that they don't understand it. So this is how we get more people into Mi Primer Bitcoin.
Why? Lol. Oh, wow. That's I think that's a good way to wrap this one out. So, guys, how about you guys each share your Twitter accounts, and then we can share, you know, all the Twitter accounts, And we'll wrap this one up for tonight, guys. This was awesome. Start with Diego. Share your Twitter, and then we'll go around the horn, and we'll hang out a little bit afterwards.
Okay, yeah, you can find me as Diego Villeda A. Well, in English, it's difficult because it's double L, but it's Diego Villeda, B as in Victor, I-L-L-E-D-A, and there's another A, because they'll be Abdallah. So, yeah, Diego Villeda A. That's how you found me on Twitter, on Instagram, in any social media that is going to be appearing. Diego Villeda A, that's my username. So thank you so much for having me here. It was really fun, and looking forward to these spaces.
Awesome, dude. Thanks for coming. How about you, Raul?
Yeah, guys. And yeah, I just want to thank you again for the time and giving us the space to talk about our project. And if you guys have any other questions or you want to follow up with us directly, you can send me a direct message, either me or directly to my first Bitcoin account. My Twitter is my first name, Raul, so R-A-U-L. And then the first three letters of my last name, so G-U-I, and then number one and number three. And so, yeah, thanks again, guys. And, yeah, I hope we can be part of the space sometime soon.
Definitely, guys. We'd love to have you guys come back on and give us an update on how adoption's going on the ground floor. So how about you, Juan Carlo? Share your Twitter. Yeah.
Please don't forget to follow my first Bitcoin _ and Bitcoin Life __. Yeah, please don't forget it. I believe that they are here in the space. It's going to be easier to you to just click the image and follow. Thank you, guys.
Beautiful.
Thank you, guys, for the space. And my Twitter handle is J, the letter J, Carlo Life. That's it, J. Carlo Life. So you can follow me on Twitter. And then, like Diego said, just follow the Mi Primer Bitcoin and Bitcoin Life accounts.
Beautiful. Man. Well, guys, I feel super inspired. I'm really glad you guys came on and shared that information with us. I know our listeners are hyped on it. And I know Winekus is excited. So, Wine. Get the last words in tonight.
We got the lightning tips of the week.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. How could I forget?
Read them out. We got a handful here. The first one is for the Pupusa Fund. The next tip is fund a memer, spread the corn. The next tip is by our favorite pet Labrador hodl for who Chris pupusas and fund Bitcoin education. And the last one is LFG El Salvador.
Let's go.
All right, guys. We love you. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us. This has been Optimus Fields. That was Winekus, our co-host. And this has been Bitcoin Kindergarten. So, guys, everyone hanging out in spaces, we do this every Wednesday, 9 p.m. Don't leave. I will be keeping the spaces open for a while. We'll be hanging out afterwards where all the real fun happens. But, again, guys, we will have a show next Wednesday, 9 p.m., as long as Bitcoin blocks are coming in. There will be a Bitcoin Kindergarten. And to everyone listening on YouTube and on Twitter and on Twitch, we love you guys.